gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Rum Daddy.
And I'm John O'Lobster. Fall back in time with Legends Podcast. All month long, we're talking time travel, paradoxes, and your fortune says there are several deaths in your future. This is Chronovember. South Korean director Lee Chung-hyun adapted the 2011 English language film The Caller into a 2020 Korean language thriller starring two of his country's biggest actresses. The film, written and directed by the then 30-year-old former advertising agent, earned multiple awards and nominations despite its pandemic-forced streaming-only release. Focusing on two young women connected across time by a mysterious telephone, the film packs in twists and turns along the way. Now we're picking up the phone to answer the call.
Gring, gring, gring. Hello.
Did anyone make the mistake of trying to watch it in English?
Korean with English subtitles?
No, in English.
Mm. Oh, I watched it in English.
Oh, the dub?
Yeah.
Yeah. We started it late, and I'm like, if I had to read, I'd fall asleep. So
I put the English on, and I got about 5 minutes in, and I was like, I can't do this. I think I need to read this.
Are the voices bad?
No, they're not bad. I just, there seems like there's more feeling always with the actual.
Yeah. I didn't find it hard to read, and this is what, the third Korean movie we've done?
Recently, yeah.
Yeah, Parasite, Train to Busan. And this, right? It's kind of becoming a theme for us. We like Korean cinema. This was great. I don't want to tip my hand here, but
this was much better than I thought it was going to be and much less straightforward. There was a lot of good twists and turns, I thought, in this.
It started off slow, and I was like,
Started off slow. It was very slow. It was very methodical and slow throughout the whole thing. And I'm going to be completely honest, I almost fell asleep like four times.
I get that.
You also said you watched it late.
Yeah, it was late. I had a hard time.
You've been a busy man.
I had a very hard time keeping my focus.
Mm-hmm. I watched this. I will admit, I watched this in chunks. So I didn't like. I found sort of natural breakpoints as I was watching it and didn't watch it straight through. I don't know if that's cheating. But we all do that. I think sometimes. So I thought that this started off and I'm like, oh, there's eight different tropes already. I don't think I'm going to like this. And then the time travel mechanic kicked in. And I mean, really kicked in. And I was like, oh, this could get fun.
When she saved
her
father. Well,
first of all, I had no idea that it was a remake of an English film. I've never seen The Caller, so.
Well, it was a bomb and sort of like never made it big. I think right now it's 38% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So it's a classic.
The original. But this is 100% and has more reviews. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Beef, right? I think when the time travel mechanic, because first it's just the telephone and you're trying to figure out what that is. And then they're like, oh, but can we change something? And then you're like, okay, will this work? And what would it look like? And then when you actually see it happen, I'm kind of like, oh, this is unique.
I got very butterfly effect from the effect of time changing. Like when her world actually changed when they saved her father.
Very butterfly effect, but also very sort of Looper-y.
Yes, yeah,
cutting fingers off. You see the immediate effect of it. I thought that was really cool.
Okay, so you know what this reminded me of going back and forth because they were in the same place with the phone. Although I've never seen it, but I've heard that love story movie about the letter, and they put the letter in the mailbox, and
you're talking about Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
Keanu Reeves, yes. The Lake House.
Was that, okay, is that what it's called, The Lake House? Yeah. Okay, I've never seen it, but that's how they communicated to each other. But it reminded me, even though I'd never seen it, The Lighthouse. From what I understand, this is what The Lighthouse is
the
about.
The Lake House.
Or The Lighthouse.
Yeah, The Lighthouse is the black and white movie. One.
Yeah, we watched that. That was great.
I didn't
watch it.
I watched it for somebody's
podcast. You watched it and you told us about it. And you told us it was great. But I'm like, okay. I kept falling asleep during that because I'm old. Yeah. Like, I started falling asleep during this.
It's a weird movie.
I will admit I did start to fall asleep a couple times during this as well. I had to straighten up, sit up and whatnot. But again, I also had worked 10 hours by that point in time and was ready to fall asleep anyways.
Right. So besides the fact that we're all tired and movies put us to sleep sometimes.
Because you get comfy in your warm couch.
Well, it's also that time of year where your body's adjusting from it being warm to it being cold. Yeah. So if the house is cold and the clocks change and you get all bundled up and you're watching a movie and like halfway through, you're gone.
Okay, so full disclosure, let's just speak this out. How did the messages travel backwards in time?
Like imagine. Well, the phone is magic.
Right. The phone's magic. The phone is, we don't care. It just works.
The phone, right? The phone just works. And it doesn't seem to like the house doesn't have electricity. It's like a rundown.
You don't need electricity in a house to have a phone work.
It's a corded phone.
You're right.
And the phone works. And then she at one point says, take the phone with you to like, so she can stay in contact with her past self, anyway.
But then again, there was also the thing about her calling her cell phone. How she got her cell phone number, I have no idea, but there was that too.
Yes. I think the mechanic of the phone is an interesting one, and it's also a fixed point in time. Like, they do this thing where if she calls, it's always the same day and the same time, just 20 years earlier when she calls back, right?
Yeah, because they're both moving parallel
forward
through time.
In time, yes.
So they're doing this. I got my fingers parallel to each other and moving them across the screen.
Which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think I did not dislike the film. There were a lot of things in it that I really loved and I thought were brilliant. I just felt that in the second act, they could have picked up the pace. Like, I was like, all right, start picking up the pace and things happening
soon. Hour 46, it was a bit long in the tooth. We could have cut probably 10, 15, 20 minutes out of certain parts. But
easy.
They did really lean into the evil of that chick after after she got saved, I was like, wow, maybe the evil stepmother actually got it right for once, right? Like,
well, or did she make her crazy?
So the evil stepmother is correct about her being evil, like, not necessarily for the same, you are possessed by a demon and we have to perform an exorcism.
Right.
But she does some very evil things.
With no remorse. Like, not even
with no remorse at all. And
I murdered my mom, now I went shopping, and now I murdered, like, just, yeah.
That's the question that I propose, is the mom aware that she's evil, or did the mom create the evil, or did she add to make her even more fucking nuts because she treated her like that as a child? Like, she saw some evil in her and she just ramped it up from the way she was treating her.
Yeah, I think that's interesting to like think about it that way. It's sort of like nature versus nurture.
Right? Yeah, but it's still, you had to have that in you to be that murderous, I think.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I murder a spider.
And it gets to the point at the end where, like, her MO is storing bodies in refrigerators, and she has a house full of refrigerators.
I thought that was brilliant.
Right?
That all of a sudden she changes time, and it's like she's walking through the house that's nothing but refrigerators. Although, the practical side of me is thinking, where are they all plugged in, and how much is she paying for electricity? I mean,
right.
Hey, it's a thing. No price is too great if you have not been caught yet, right?
And I believe the phone was just ringing, right? Was that?
Yeah, I just heard that was.
So
that's what that was.
Is there like a sequence in here that really works for you? I think the sort of like the first time you have the time travel effect happen, or I guess the timeline readjusts and her burns disappear and the house like reforms around her. I thought that was really cool.
I thought that was brilliant. The first time that happened, it was stunning and really well done.
I still would
the
have
other,
been...
Here's the other problem that I have with the film. If she was torturing her as a child,
yep.
wouldn't she be remembering?
Well, always talk about that in time travel movies, like they did it in The Adam Project. Like, what do you remember when you remember it? In right. The Adam Project, he said he wouldn't remember it till he got back to his fixed time.
And it seems like her physical surroundings change, but her memory doesn't change because she doesn't, for instance, when the strawberry guy gets killed, she comes down looking for him and she's like, where did the strawberry guy go?
Yeah. Maybe because she was there's a few things. I can get past some of that.
I think it's more sort of like that's because the plot, you know.
Because the plot demands it?
Because the plot demands it, like, it's more effective for the audience if she's making the discoveries. Like, the first time she's reunited with her father, she gets to have that emotional moment of seeing him for the first time and realizing he's alive.
The first time I remembered that there was a creepy murder door in my house, even after my dad was brought back, I would have been like, sorry guys, I'm moving this end table and cutting a hole in the fucking new basement we have. Like, you don't not have a bunker in your house and go, you know, or not go fuck with it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Do you have a bunker in your house?
Yeah, I'm in it. No, but that's right. What you I want to retire to.
From it.
Yes.
My house is bunkerless. It's kind of disappointing.
Ew.
You don't have a basement?
Don't have a basement.
No, neither do I. But I live in California. Not a lot of houses have basements here.
Losers.
We're not expecting a hurricane or
you would not do well in a basement in a hurricane. You might get flooded.
It would flood pretty well, yeah. Anyway, back to the movie.
Was the car scene when the dad then disappears and he sort of gets...
That was amazing.
Thanos'd and then the glass is breaking all around her?
That was amazing. I expected her to have a lot more road rash, but... I found it interesting that they were going to a dark tunnel, and that's when it all happened.
Yeah, that was cool. It's a really cool visual. I thought they were going to play it subtle, and just she's driving, and because she's learning how to drive, she's focusing on the road, and she looks over, and he's just gone.
Right,
right.
But they had to do the whole world shift.
They did it, really dramatic, yeah.
Yeah, which but I was then, like, you know, he's the one teaching her to drive, so if he's gone, who is there to teach her how to drive?
Well, doesn't the car disappear, too?
And the car disappears because it was his car.
So how did she get in the tunnel?
Oh, what? You're right. I do like how all the little things kept affecting her present day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely the butterfly effect in so many different ways. Although it doesn't explain how her mother, at the same age, in one timeline, was dying of brain cancer and another timeline.
I was going to bring that up. I was going to bring that up. And that's another sort of like metaphysical question.
Maybe she did, you know, like a lot more drugs or something that could give you brain cancer.
Or maybe they weren't living underneath a power line.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe in one timeline, the cancer cells grow and in the other, they don't. And there's like a, you know.
And that happens.
A lot. It did. Sure.
So what did you guys feel about the post-credit scenes?
Well, let's first off talk about how the movie gives us an actual happy ending, right? We end up with her mother saving...
Basically sacrificing herself from
what we
see.
Basically sacrificing herself, from what we see. But then we realize the mother is alive and...
That's why the memory thing didn't work out, because you needed... her not to have active instant memory recall so that she could be happy at the end there. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise,
I like that the movie gave us three different endings.
Yeah.
And it's up to the audience to decide which one they walk away with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It gave you her by herself winning because she thought she saw her mother sacrifice herself. Then the mother comes up at the
Cemetery.
I want to say funeral home, but yeah, cemetery.
No, okay. So she goes to her dad's grave, and I was confused. It was right after we saw her mom. We thought her mom was dead.
Yes.
And she goes to her dad's grave, and there's only one grave. I'm like, well, wouldn't there be two? And then her mom shows up.
Of course.
Right.
And then that is also a happy ending in the sense that it repairs their relationship, which was in the original timeline, her mother was alive, but she didn't have a good relationship with her. So.
Because she thought that her mother was crazy and was responsible for the house catching fire. When then in retrospect, you find out that she was the one
playing with fire.
And she blocked it out.
And they, like, just a little snippy, like, paint your nails or whatever. Like, in the very beginning, you see what all that means and stems from. And and even if at that happy ending, that second ending, the last happy ending we'll get, if she, it's basically a reset to the start of the movie. She has a relationship with her mother, except now it's a happy relationship with her mother, and she got another, couple weeks with her dad. So it's like a bonus. Mm-hmm. But sad ending, bad ending, scary ending, what do we want to call it?
So the scary ending is that the evil girl survived the fall and takes the phone and is still in contact with a future version of herself that can give her directions. And they end up kidnapping the adult good girl.
I don't know if I like that.
Is that multiverse theory, though? Like, once you create these different timelines, they continue on? And, like, only your perspective changes?
The only thing that bothered me is the fact that the older version of herself did not age. Of the crazy girl. When you saw her in present day, she looked exactly the same as she did 20 years earlier.
Good genetics, man. Good genetics.
Time travel.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even know. We don't even know.
You don't know.
Asians don't age like white people. I'm just saying.
I
mean, I see a lot of beautiful Asian people who really don't age.
It's funny because when she was
when people say black don't crack. Yeah.
When she was captive of her mother was like force feeding her all the veggies and stuff. And then when she killed her mother, she went off and ate all the junk food and started smoking. You know, that should have taken a toll.
That should have taken a toll.
I mean, some people just can drink and smoke better than others. I don't know.
Sure. Just natural preservatives.
Looking at you, Rum Daddy.
Keep you going. Other thoughts? Like,
don't frown.
Just for me, in this being sort of a different type of time travel story, I think in Cronovember, we do a lot of, like,
physical travel.
Time travel, different timelines. I like that this movie and certainly our movie next week are playing with time in very different ways than sort of I'm going to get in a magic box and go forward or backwards in time.
The dog agrees.
The
dog abides.
The dog plays.
Any other stuff on this puppy? You kind of have to see this to really describe it.
Now spoiled the hell out of it.
And you almost need to see it twice.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I would definitely go back to this once.
Luckily, it is on Netflix, so it didn't get a theatrical release in 2020, but it was, they ended up partnering with Netflix, and it is available via the Netflix streaming service. You can watch it in Korean, you could watch it with subtitles, you could watch it dubbed in English. All options that you have to,
but you can't watch it in Cherokee, unfortunately.
Comanche, but no,
or Comanche
can't watch it in Comanche or Cherokee.
So there's a computer inside your phone. Do you have Walkmans? For the call, are you going legendary?
Time crimes.
Legend of its time.
Legend of time travel.
Cult legend.
a haiku. You hear a ringing coming from inside the house. Answer it in time.
Awesome.
Hotline Bling.
Entertaining.
Hold the phone.
Mabel?
All right, guys. It's your favorite. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but it's Cronovember, so call me maybe.
Forgettable.
Wrong number.
Abysmal.
Cold call.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Ghostbusters, answer the call.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of mid-credit scenes that change the whole ending.
Mr. Daddy?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Yeah, that's what
I just wanted to sing the song. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but it's Cronovember, so call me maybe. It's entertaining. I'm actually going to give it a hold the phone entertaining because it's done really well. It's just a slog to get through the second act. Yeah, I don't got much on it. The effects were really beautifully done. There's a lot of sections in it that will spark conversations about time travel and how one thing can change the future. But how does it affect the world as far as the butterfly effect? I would recommend people to watch it because there were moments of it where all of a sudden we sat up in our chairs and we're like, oh my God, this is a great film. And then there was another 15 minutes that went by. I'm just like, okay, something please happen. Okay, oh no, that was great. Oh no, something please happen. So I definitely think that everybody could have their own. It'll play differently for everybody. So yeah, entertaining, hold the phone. Next.
I would have to agree. It was an entertaining hold the phone with a side of mid-credit scenes that changes the whole movie or ending. I liked it. I had fun with it. It is a bit slow and sloggy-ish, but it's good. I think if you can watch it in a couple chunks like Lobster did or a few chunks, it's still worth a watch. I'm going to give it a rewatch. Watch it earlier in the day. Sit up. Drink some coffee. But damn it, it is a good movie. It's a fun movie. The stuff that they do are entertaining. So I definitely got to give it an entertaining. Lobster.
Ring, ring, ring. I think I'm going to three-peat on us.
Mike Jordan.
I'm going to hold the phone as well. I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to just pick it up, put it on hold, and be like, hold on.
I don't want to speak to you past me or forward me.
Your call is very important to us. Please stay on the line. Yeah, I really liked this film's interpretation of what a time travel story could be. And just the way that it built on the characters first, introduced the time travel mechanic, and then said, so kind of like the beginning of the movie, you feel like it's a haunted house movie. And then they introduce the phone and they introduce sort of like the past relationship with the girl, and they kind of start to have a friendship, and then she saves the dad. And you're like, okay, this seems like it could be trending in a nice direction. And then the movie goes, oh, no, it's still a haunted house movie. We're going to give you some mind fucks down the road. So I kind of like that. I think this director, very young director, this is one of his first feature films, but very competently done. Yeah, very competently done and well executed. Again, I think as an editor, like if you're looking at this, you're like, yeah, we could cut a little bit of this. The sort of subplot with the lady at the convenience store. And
I was just thinking about that exact same subplot. I'm like, why did we need it? We didn't need it.
It never like really came into play. I thought it would have a role. I did like the part where, and we didn't even talk about this in our review, but she sends her to the warehouse that blows up to like try to get rid of her. And like how clever of a mechanic that is, because how do you kill someone in the past? You have to like find somewhere you know that there's going to be a disaster and try to like steer them there. I thought that was great.
Right.
So yeah,
well, she was reusing the plane crash. So she proved that she could do that because she told her about the plane crash.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, okay, now we know what she can and can't do.
Yeah, yeah. So again, I thought as a study of like how to use time travel in a story, I thought this was really great. Again, I had some issues with pacing and just the flow of the film. I think it ultimately does get to a really exciting place. Gives us, I thought, a really great ending, but then even the movie can't decide what ending it wants to tell you and tries to have it both ways. And again, I think that's where you need a producer or you need an editor with more experience to say, no, 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 like stick the landing and stick to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you giving us too many endings.
Even if you would have given us the Cody Fingers post-credit scene actually after the credits. Yeah. I think it would have felt like you would have made more of a decision and there was an actual cinematic break where that is the choose-your-own-adventure ending.
Sure.
This is like, it feels like it's the actual ending. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, so I think we're all agreed this is sort of right in the early stages of being a legendary film. Would like to see more of this type of stuff.
Last call, last word on the call.
Sorry, wrong number.
Please don't hang up. We've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty.
Ma! Where's the cordless? I gotta call the past!
Good evening. At the tone, the time will be...
time.
Do you guys remember that when you could call it would tell you what time it was at the
time? It was time and temp. Time and temp. Yep. You call up and you get the temperature and the time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the temperature mattered, but the time, yeah, I didn't, back then in the 80s and 90s, you didn't need it to the minute. Nothing was digitally streaming to the...
Well, you wanted to set all your clocks at the flashing 12 o'clock on your VCR.
By the time you did that, you could, by the time you did the first one, by the time you got to the third one, they were all off if you were still trying to set them for 7 p.m.
Well, you look at the first one and see where the time is on the first one, and then you set the second one to that.
Maddening.
That's where this device that you can wear on your wrist can come really in handy.
I don't know,
you can
then
take that with you to the stove, to the microwave, to expensive. The VCR.
That's why you just have them all plugged into the internet.
Yeah, my Timex, very expensive.
So we're doing stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff, and there's things that we all have. And so
I'm excited.
Apparently, Marvel has found its new director and a new writer for Blade. Ooh. I should tell you what for, but Blade and stuff. I'm excited for this because I know when we heard that they pulled whoever from directing and whatnot, that this might have been hung up and hidden forever. So I'm excited to see Mahershala Ali in just under 2 years as Blade.
Well, this is interesting news. This is interesting news because a really good friend of mine was working on it and was supposed to move to, I think, Cincinnati, which is where the movie is going to be based. And he was going to live there for like 3 months while the film was being shot. And then all of a sudden he get a call that the director, that everyone's been like, been put on hold and we're not doing the movie and the movie's been shelved. And he's like, well, there the fuck goes the rest of my year. But this is interesting news. When I see him on Thursday, I will ask him what's going on.
On Turkey Day,
I like the
fact... They're coming over for dinner.
This gentleman that is the director, I have not heard
Jan Demange.
But I do read in the article that he directed the pilot of HBO's Lovecraft Country. So we know he can do creepy. So I'm good with that.
Yeah.
But can he tell a story?
You heard a weird exclusive here, which was, and this happens very rarely on the podcast, that the Blade movie will be set in Cincinnati. Is that a verified fact?
No, I think they're filming it there. I don't know where it's going to be set.
Okay. That's still interesting news. I'm glad that we released that tidbit on our podcast.
You're such a nerd.
But again, I really think this is a cool director.
There's no secret that most Marvel films are shot in Atlanta.
Right, at Pinewood.
Yeah, they're at Pinewood in Georgia, which kind of sucks. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of reasons why it sucks. But anyway, a lot of them are shot there. But many locations are shot in other places. Mm-hmm. So the locations for this were going
to
be...
So they don't go to Mars when they're saying they're on Mars?
No, but anything that can be done on green screen or in any kind of a... can be done in Atlanta. But like for street shots and stuff, people walking down the street and locations, they'll do it on location.
Well, and Blade is a very sort of street level fighter. And I think the first one was in... the Wesley Snipes was in Detroit, right? At least the first movie.
Right.
Do I have that right?
Correct?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway. Interesting stuff.
Trailer. Trevor Noah. I wish you would. Looks like Trevor Noah getting back to some stand-up goodness. This comes out today at recording. So if you're bored and you don't feel like dealing with the family over the next few days, Trevor Noah. I wish you would. Netflix.
You could put us on pause and go and watch that and then come back and listen to us after you're done watching it.
So I happened upon
I think people should listen to us in their tryptophan comas and have like fever dreams. Sorry, Beef. Go ahead.
Tryptophan. I heard that as trip to fan coma. And I was like, why are they taking a trip and who's fans coma? And then I'm like, oh, I get it.
That's a suburb of Cincinnati where they're filming the Blade movie.
So I flipped on Netflix last night before bed, and there's a fun little show called 1899 that I put on.
By the way, real quick, Netflix, when you turn it on now, they changed the way it looks.
The peoples are on the side. It's a thing.
Yeah, everything's on the side, and it's like it freaked me out at first, and I was like, wait a minute, the Netflix format.
Hold on. Do you still know your name?
Yeah, but it's not down here anymore. It's up here on the side. Oh,
God forbid. Next question. As long as
wanted to know if I was the only one or if it happened to everybody.
They changed the net, like on the spectrum of get off my lawn to I've fallen and I can't get up. It's like they changed my Netflix screen is like pretty close to the.
So, I don't know. Anyways, I went, my name isn't there in the middle. Perfectly in the center, it is now top left. Shucks, it's still the same dumb picture color and everything, and it's my name. Anyways, 1899, I watched an episode last night. I only got about three quarters of the way through, and I started falling asleep. So I backed it up to the halfway point. I came home today. I finished that first episode and half of the second episode. It's really good. It's
off the chain.
It's scary. It's not scary, but it's that like creepy environment, mystery. It's a puzzle box type show. It's German. It's made by the people of Dark.
It's on a boat, right?
It feels very like we said it would. They're going to save the ship that got lost a while ago. Event Horizon. Weird stuff is happening. It's got hints of like a sci-fi property from a few years ago, something about Helix maybe.
Tying this in with Rick made the comment last night when we were watching The Call.
Yeah.
That do you remember the episode of X-Files when both Scully and Mulder were on the Queen Mary in different times?
No, and I forgot
about that one.
Yeah, remember? And they would do a split screen, and they would like be in the same scene and just cross each other and shit, but they were in different times.
I don't.
Oh, they did a cool thing in this movie, and I forgot to mention it. I'm sorry. I'm going to backtrack to like a review.
The Call did a lot of that same shit. Yeah.
When the evil girl and the mom have the fight, and you pan around the room, and you see like a blood stain appear here. You see the window break, and like they keep going. That was cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But anyway, it ties in 1899 and The Call. I just thought I'd...
And subtitles, right, Beef?
Yes. This is a lot like... What's the plane show I like on Netflix? Into the Dark, where it's multiple nationalities flying on a plane across Europe. This is the same thing because it's English, it's German, it's Spanish, there's French Deutsch. Because you're on, yeah, it's Danish.
Fucking Deutsch.
Because you got all these people traveling on this 1899 steamer or whatever to get across the ocean, so it's many different nationalities. So there's like, there's the eeriness that's going on in the world going to rescue this old vessel. Then there's unsettling class differences that are on the ship. Then there's the Babel aspect of almost no one can speak everyone else's language completely. So there's that confusion. I've got some really good vibes off the first hour and a half of it. So $18.99, Netflix.
Well, it's on our list. We're definitely interested in watching it. And maybe now that my MIL is here, we will probably sit and watch it together as a family. Because it's the holidays.
As a family. That seems like a good pick for someone older than you to try to puzzle out. They changed my Netflix screen. And what
looks,
will I do?
And it looks really good, too. The set design and the production design of each episode looks like they actually spent a little bit of money to make it look shippy.
Good. It looks like ship.
This show looks so shippy.
Oh, man.
It looks like ship.
I ship this like show.
All right. So, news story, and I know this is like inside baseball, but the senior vice president of media relations for HBO, who's been with the company for 30 years, her name is Angela Tarantino. She's done. She's gone. She decided, I'm out of here. And it seems like a lot of the big heads for HBO and other companies that are associated or taken over by a certain parent company are looking at the writing on the wall and they're like, I'm out. So I'm starting to think, is this the beginning of the end of HBO's reign?
Well, anyway, it'll be interesting to see, because you can interpret that in two ways, right? There's the sort of like prestige HBO that gave us The Sopranos and Sex and the City and all of
and Game of Thrones and all that.
Sure. Right. I was, you know, ones that won big awards and spawned media franchises and all of that. We already got Westworld canceled, right?
Right.
So it'll be in, like, I don't know if they come back from that, but they are shaping up to be a content monstrosity. And if anything, you know, is true about television viewers, they'll watch pretty much anything. So
to me, it's a little bit like rats fleeing a sinking ship. And sure. I'm sure that,
their competition just brought back the big cheese. So right. We'll talk about that in a second.
So I am certain that they're going to make money no matter what it is that they do, and they're going to have viewers. But the quality of whatever goes on at HBO is going to change. Like the face of HBO is definitely going to change drastically. Mm-hmm. And within the next year and a half.
They're going to change the login screen too, so get ready.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. It'll just freak me out. Do you know what I've been pitching for years? For the last 2 years, I've been on and off on HBO shows or whatever. And I keep, whenever we get the execs to watch one of our cuts, I'm like, you know, I would love to see the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da and like the diamond come out and explode. Yeah. I'm like, you guys should bring that back.
Home box office.
Yeah. And the song that was written by John Williams, that whole piece of music was all John Williams. So
you're old.
Love all John right, Williams. So I did see, and this is opening up my big gay heart, I watched the trailer for Magic Mike's Last Dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, I got excited for it. It just looks like really stupid fun. Like, they're dancing, they decide to go to Europe, they're going to go and open up a show, and it just seems stupid as all hell, but great dance numbers and a lot of fun. You make your own choice. But it fluttered my big gay heart and made it so happy for that. I know a lot of friends of mine who are going to go to the theater to watch it. I'll wait till it streams, but fun no matter what. And then my recommendation that we watched this week, we watched a little animated film on Apple Plus called Luck. It's really interesting because it's about a girl that ages out of the the system. She ages out of the adoption system, and how she's trying to make a life for herself when she's 18, and then also how she tries to take care of the young kids that are still in the adoption system, but she runs across a lucky cat, and the cat drops its lucky penny, and she grabs the lucky penny, and craziness, you know, happens. And
the cat is voiced by Simon Pegg.
The cat is voiced by Simon Pegg. There's a lot of famous voices in it. Whoopi Goldberg is in it. Jane Fonda plays a dragon.
Naturally.
Yeah. Well, you know. But it's a cute, cute movie. I think families and children would really love it. It's on Apple Plus. I highly recommend to see it. It's only about like an hour and a half. It's like 90, 95 minutes long or something. It's cute. So,
it's a movie for children, probably.
Yeah, and you know what? Beef, there are no musical numbers in it. Mm. Oh, wait a minute. There is at the very beginning and at the very end.
Fucking
sorry.
Liar. Sandwich but, me.
But there's no, like, they don't suddenly break out in song and dance.
I think Beef would like Encanto. I think Beef would like that.
Encanto was cute, although I liked Coco better.
You heard it here first, folks. Okay, so speaking of, well, yeah, I'll do the happy news first, and then I'll give you the sad news. Speaking of Disney, right, and we previewed this a little bit. So Disney, the last couple of years, has been run by Bob Chapek. Instead of Bob Iger, they traded Bob. So the new Bob, same as the old Bob. So that didn't go so well for Disney. And they brought
Bob
Iger.
How did
not
go so well for Disney? They said they bought Star Wars. They bought Marvel.
Well, they did. Bob Iger did all of that. Bob Chapek
didn't. That's right.
He came in and did muffed on the Don't Say Gay bill and fucked up some other stuff for Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't very popular, so they went back and said, "Dear Bob Iger, please come back and save us," and he did, and that's exciting. So that will be
good for Bobby.
Good for Bob Iger. Now, interesting bit of trivia, Bob Iger, an alumnus of the college that I now work at, Ithaca College alumnus. Class of 73, I believe.
Weird flex.
Yeah, weird flex, right? Okay. And then the sad, sad news. So on the heels of losing one childhood icon last week when Kevin Conroy passed away, the voice of Batman, Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger or White Ranger or both, Tommy Oliver from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, passed away at age 49. Believe that he took his own life, which is super sad.
That's really sad.
It is sad. When I read this, I was like, wow, he was 49? And then I was like, I always knew he was older than me, but not that. Oh, wait, I'm 42. That's right. We're all aging. It's sad. Yeah. It's sad that he's played that character forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he came back and did some extra stuff and some.
Didn't he help like write the most recent movies or something? I read.
Listen, he was really active as in the fan base and did a lot to promote, and I think had his own struggles clearly, and that's a sad bit of news. Really oddly, I the night before I learned this news, had a dream about the Power Rangers, and I think he was in it. So that it was impactful on me. I know, a little prophecy there. Crazy.
You're the prophet of death is prophetic. What you are. Please, do not dream about us.
I mean, it's sort of like I'm going to probably dream about the Power Rangers, the Ninja Turtles, X-Men or something, so... You know,
right. It wasn't what
lives in my brain. So,
didn't we lose another Power Ranger just a few weeks ago?
I don't recall.
There's something else in the news about one of the Power Rangers that was a tragic and but I can't remember who.
Thai Trang, the original Yellow Ranger, died in a car crash many years ago, but I don't believe it was a recent thing.
You know, my memory, time memory doesn't work the same for me.
Just so, I know we did an Avatar The Way of Water trailer last week, and I think we all kind of were like, meh, nobody really cares, whatever. I'm starting to care. I'm so sorry. I'm starting to have this feeling of, I think this is going to be a big deal. The new trailer looks fantastic, introduces a bunch of stuff that I don't think we'd seen before. And there's this article that came out, this interview with James Cameron, and he said basically he told Disney and Fox when he pitched this movie that it will be so expensive, you're stupid. Essentially, he told them, you're morons for spending this money. It has to be the fourth or fifth highest grossing film of all time just to break even.
I wonder how much of that went into his own pocket.
I don't know, but we know he's been working on these movies for quite a while. And
you know, he has the history, he has a reputation in Hollywood of being the most difficult director to ever work with.
Well, there was another article that came out where this guy came up to him, a producer, on the first Avatar, and said, hey, we need you to cut some running time. Basically, the discussion we just had about The Call, we need this movie to be a little bit shorter. And he said, this movie is going to make all the money. James Cameron didn't say a lot of money. He said, listen, this movie is going to make all the money. So when that happens, you don't get to come up to me and say congratulations. You don't get to come up to me and say, hey,
he's a dick.
So great. So I'm so glad we did this together. Fuck you. Get out of my office.
He's a dick.
Which I kind of respect.
I don't respect that at all. Fuck him. He has a reputation. Like, his favorite thing to do on set is to find somebody and pull them out on the carpet in front of the entire crew and bitch them and just bitch them out and chew them a new asshole and then send them walking. That's his favorite thing to do.
That I don't.
Fuck that.
I don't
that.
Approve of. But
no, I know I that from the, like,
don't fuck up my coffee order, all right? Don't fuck up my coffee order and you won't
dick.
Get called out.
He is such a dick.
It's very simple. Black, one cream, two sugars.
I think that's not black
because that has a cream in it.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I'm starting to start there.
I'm starting to get the sense that this Avatar thing will be real. And just to kind of like prove a point, I went back and looked at the first Avatar, which did not break any opening weekend records. It only opened to $77 million the first weekend, which is not great money.
Yeah, even. But that many years ago?
It was only 10 years, well, 12 years ago. So, 2009, it opens to $77 million. The thing was, the next weekend, it only dropped 1.6%.
Because word of mouth, a lot of people went to see it, yeah.
Yep, and it opened over the holidays. And then the next weekend, it only dropped 5%, and then it just kept going. And I also went back and found a review that was like, hey, I think Avatar is going to flop. And I shared that in the chat. And Rum Daddy took the bait and was like, oh, yeah, I agree. I was like, no, that article's from 2009. That's on the original saying, I think this is going to flop. So,
oh, yeah, I didn't have time to read the article. I've been busy.
Yeah, but it was clickbait and you fell for it. So mm-hmm. I just think that it's interesting that now we're having the exact same discussion, which is like, yeah, nobody's going to be interested
but
in this bullshit.
But it's for different reasons. It's for different reasons. I mean, like I said last week, most people are going to be begrudgingly excited because they saw it 13 years ago or whatever, and now they're like, well, I kind of have to see it because it was such a big thing. It's how many people will go out and see it.
I think the bigger question is, what if it's good?
Well, then everybody will go out and see it.
Yeah. So
I don't think it'll do box office on the first weekend. It depends on how much money they spend in advertising.
I probably won't even do the box office in the first month if I go, because if it is good, it's going to be there for 3 months at least, right?
I think it's an interesting test case, because probably the closest we've had to this is Spider-Man No Way Home, which after the pandemic opened and did really well. This is on the level of a Star Wars and Avengers kind of thing, where it's been 15 12 years since we've seen one of these. It was the highest grossing movie of all time, the first one. Like love or hate it, like people right. at the time went back and saw it multiple times in the cinema. So
pirating movies wasn't as good.
See, and this is why I was so disappointed in it, because again, James Cameron, as much as I hate him as an individual and as a director, because he's such a dick, he used to, yeah. not anymore, but he used to have the ability to create a movie and edit a movie, direct a movie, where you could tune into it at any time and get sucked in. And he doesn't bring the whole action to a screeching halt for exposition before, like, he's able to, like, suck you in to watch a whole movie. So movies that he's made that do that to me is Terminator 2. I'm sorry, Titanic, I could start watching it and I'm sucked in and I'm interested for the whole thing. And
you get Aliens as well, right?
Aliens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aliens as well. Yep. You know?
The Abyss.
Yep. The Abyss is a great movie until the last 10 minutes. Then it sucked.
But, yeah, it got a little left field. But
yeah. But, I mean, still, all those films,
the aliens, you can start watching it
at any point, and you're sucked in. Not Avatar.
Okay, so Avatar, still heated. What else? What do you got for us? Recommendation.
Ooh. Hachimama.
Getting
heated here on the podcast. Wow.
This is what makes podcasting fun, as we talked about at the anniversary podcast.
Yeah, fuck you.
What? I want to see you lose your shit. Come on, lose your shit.
God bless you already.
I know. It's like
I jumped right there. I jumped it. Bright light's not helping. What's The Wolf of Snow Hollow?
Okay. So this movie has been on my list for like a long time.
Uh-huh.
It was at
least 2 years because it came out
2 years, 2020. Later. It was the last film that Robert Forster did before he passed. And it's just this weird sort of werewolf murder type movie. At least it starts off that way. It's very Fargo. I really, really enjoyed it. Okay. I watched it with sort of low expectations. Again, it has kind of been on my list, but kept bumping it for other stuff. And then I realized, hey, it's on Amazon Prime. Let's watch it. Good. It's good.
Good.
I think maybe it's something we could do and review because I think you guys would like it.
Good.
So, Beef, what do we have as spoiler-free reviews?
I know, double time. You got to be out of here in a couple minutes. You got to go back to work. See on Apple Plus, I am still draining that a lot. I'm enjoying it. Andor, amazing. I can't fucking say that enough. Probably my favorite Star Wars property. Top three, yeah, for sure.
As far as C, you can watch C legitimately.
I have been.
You could see it for free.
I've also been watching Ted Lasso there, too, which was amazing. The Peripheral is very good on Prime. That is another one that gets me sleepy because they're hour-ish episodes, and they should be 42 to 48 minutes.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't. They just get just a little bit too long in the tooth, but the concept, the show, the acting... Her and her brother, the acting of that, I think, are great together.
Right.
I don't know who the hell he is, but he seems to be, he's a good fucking actor, at least from what I see.
You know, he's, of course, we're watching it, and there's all these Southern accents, and I turn to Rick and I go, I wonder how many of them are actual Americans and how many of them are Brits.
Yeah.
He is Irish. He's an Irishman.
Oh, my God. I was going to say his Southern accent's amazing. And also 1899, again, Netflix, give it a whirl. Rum Daddy?
If you are starting to watch stuff on Apple, yes. There's dogs growling here, sorry guys.
That's right.
I would highly recommend Severance. Once you're done.
Oh yeah, I watched it already. Couple,
oh, you watched it already? Okay, yeah. Severance was great. Let's see, slow. I have all the
very
same
slow,
shit that
but
both
very
of you
good.
Did. Very slow, but by the time you get into episode 3 or 4, it's like, you can't stop. Hold on, hey. Knock
we know
off.
You got a poop, chill out.
Buddy.
It's the dogs are growling. I don't know.
It's
okay,
a growler.
So a lot of the same shows that you guys have, Andor, amazing. Yep. I've got the finale left. That's all I have to watch.
Tomorrow.
The Crown, again, really enjoying it. It's interesting how every episode is about something different. And surprisingly enough, the Queen is hardly in it. I mean, she's in like every episode because I have to touch base with that. But
Beef, do you have a question, yes. Beef?
Is the Crown? This is the Crown. This is the one with the hot, tall, blonde chick we know from Tenet.
Yeah, she plays Lady Di.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys mentioned it in passing last week, and I totally was checked out. And then I saw like a 30-second video of her playing Di, and I was like, holy mm-hmm. shit, they were right. She's perfect for yep. her.
She's perfect, anyways. Except she's like a foot taller
well, than Diana I mean, was. But yeah. You know, they film Tom Cruise as tall all the time, too, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a little guy. Yeah, The Crown is great. Peripheral, again, same thing. Can't say enough about it. I'm looking forward to seeing how. Wait, I think we finished watching it. Yeah, no, we did. We finished watching
okay,
it.
Okay, I still have like
finished
two left.
The Crown.
And Drink Masters.
Yes,
Drink Masters on Netflix. You know, I don't like watching reality shows, but I do love competition reality shows. So it's like the alcoholic version of Great British Bake Off, I guess, or something like that.
Excellent. Okay.
Lobster, your turn.
Yeah, I watched The Crown. We covered that, I think, in our discussion.
Do you love it as well?
I do like it. One thing I'll say about this season, I think the show gets a bad reputation for having a perceived anti-monarchist bias. It's always in the news about like
I don't people, think so.
I don't think it does. I think it's actually quite balanced. And if you watch the show, there's times that they portray certain characters very sympathetically and times that they portray them very unsympathetically.
So like life.
And it it all kind of depends on your perspective. And one interesting thing I think they've really done this season is they'll show characters from other characters' perspectives, and it is really interesting. And again, because it's dealing with a period in time that's in my memory of like this happened. Now it's up to a point where it happened during our lifetime.
Yeah,
that's interesting to me.
I do. I think there's one scene in The Crown before we go. I'll make this really quick. It's the scene where Prince Philip goes and confronts Diana, mm-hmm. and it was. I could see both of their points of view of mm-hmm. what was going on. I 100% understood where he was coming from, but also understood where she was coming from. And right. his point of view, it's more like it's not that the crown, that the royalty was right or wrong. It's that they were looking at life from two different generational perspective. Mm-hmm. It was a completely different generation. He lived through World War II. So he saw everything completely as a certain duty, mm-hmm. whereas she was more modern, duty. Closer to our generation, who saw things more individual. So,
proceed. Yeah, you always have to do your duty.
Duty.
And especially when you've got a growler,
yeah, growler
on deck.
We called him a grumpy.
I do my duty every morning after my cup of coffee.
Speaking of ingestibles, Great British Bake Off, and they also released the holiday edition. Woo-hoo. So we watched the finale, and then we watched the two holiday episodes that they had were fun.
I haven't saved up so I could start watching them this weekend.
No spoilers. I don't think we watched any more episodes of The Big Brunch. I mentioned this the other week, last week maybe. It is on HBO Max. It's the Dan Levy-hosted cooking reality show, which I think you would enjoy. Well, football and also the World Cup is starting. And also, like, even before the World Cup began, it's now the most controversial World Cup, I think, to have ever taken place and proves to continuously be controversial.
I can't decide if I want to watch a World Cup for the games or for the political intrigue.
Yeah, I mean, it's from the host nation's perceived and probably real abuses to censorship, to just the fact that FIFA seems like the most corrupt organization ever.
Oh, FIFA's horrible.
I saw a joke basically that like if you took all of the sort of races of Star Trek and tried to like explain how they would be as like teams in the World Cup, and like the Klingons are really aggressive and the Andorians and all that. Basically, the Ferengis are the FIFA administration because all they care about is profit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Next time, Legends Podcast. We end Cronovember the way it began with Tenet. I'm excited for this.
Starting it over again.
We're doing it
backwards and forwards.
One of you starting from the beginning.
Can I watch the movie backwards?
You could.
I'm excited to watch this again. I really am, and to pick it apart a bit, because both the two times that I watched this, the week or so after, each time I couldn't stop thinking about it and going on to like YouTube and looking up videos on Easter eggs and just how it works. It's an amazing, fun film. It really is sad that it got fucked by the pandemic, in my mind.
And don't forget to wear your headphones or turn on subtitles.
You need subtitles on. Yes.
Yeah, you need subtitles for this.
It's a film that is sometimes difficult to
understand. Well, it's been highly criticized
because it was highly criticized because the mix on it was so awful.
Yeah, the mix on it was done at home with audio earbuds or whatever. Not even like monitors. That's what someone told us. I don't know. Maybe a business insider.
I don't know. I'll have to research that and find out.
Yeah.
Let us know. It's in English though, so.
Yeah. I'm excited. I always throw them on. It's just easy because you listen, but you glance at. Because sometimes there is some heavy exposition that gets lost in the soundtrack. Anyways, I have a comment, question, recommendation. Email us, legendspodcasts@gmail.com with an extra S for South Korea. This has been episode 602 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef Sang. We will see you next week.
I'm Rum Daddy saying this movie makes me hungry for Korean barbecue.
Korean barbecued turkey, I hope.
Why? Because their family burned? You guys are wrong.
Oh. Oh, they were
wrong
actually
with you.
They were actually barbecued.
Wrong. Ew.
Little strawberries on the side.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast plural. For all our contact information as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.